Morning, romance lovers, and welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight I have, and I'm having a computer issue. Hello. Wake up, computer. Tonight I have romance author PJ Fiala. And if I can get to my great page, what is wrong with this? And this is part of the technical things. There's a computer that decided to freeze on me. Hello. Oh, man. Hold on, Patty. I'm getting there. Okay, well, if it's going to be that way, then I'm just going to have to take the matters into my own hands. Give me 10 seconds. Maybe some day it'll unfreeze for me. Why? That's just a lot of fun. Okay, so tonight I have PJ Fiala on the show. PJ was born in Bridgeton, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis. Spending summers in Kentucky with her grandmother, Ruth, are among her fondest childhood memories. When she was 13, her family moved to Wisconsin to learn to farm. Wow, I can't wait to hear about that one, too. Taking city kids and throwing them on a farm with 28 cows purchased from the Humane Society because they had been abused was interesting, to say the least. She learned how to milk cows, the ins and outs of the breeding schedule, feeding schedule, and the never-ending haying for the summer, along with trying to stay warm all winter. She's married with 4 children and 3 grandchildren. She has learned to love Wisconsin, though she still hates snow. And she and her husband travel around by motorcycle, seeing new places and meeting new people. She comes from a family of veterans. Her grandfather, father, brother, 2 sons, and 1 daughter-in-law are all veterans. Needless to say, she is proud to be an American and proud of the service her amazing family has given. And you can find out more about PJ on her website, which is pjfiala.com, and you can see it right there. And I am trying to figure out how I'm going to get back out. This is ridiculous. Let's see. If you're there, just hang tight for a second, because I am don't know what my computer just decided to freeze up on me. There we go. No. Okay. And how in the heck? Oh, wait. It's thinking. Hold on. that's so much fun. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Why of all times for this thing to do this stupid... Okay. Well, how the heck am I going to do this? Let me see. So much fun. I did a great intro, though, if you're listening. Oh, look. It's helping. Here we are. Well, there we go. And now I'm sure you think I'm crazy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Seriously, my cursor froze up and it wouldn't let me do anything. And then all of a sudden it just decided to do something. So here we are. Yay, the new computer time, I guess. so much to talk about. Okay, so welcome to the show. And I did pare down your bio, which was hilarious, by the way. I was laughing so hard when I was paring it down to fit on this page. But the whole getting thrown into Wisconsin thing is just too funny. And I can't even imagine, because, I mean, I'm a suburb girl, you know. I know a little bit about – we had some ag people, you know, that were – in school with us because we lived on the suburbs, so there was some agriculture around us. But yeah, if I had to go milk a cow, I'd be looking at it like, what?
So. Yeah, well, that was fun. I mean, the only animal we'd ever had was a cat, and so a cow was something like totally new. We lived in the city. We lived in a suburb of St. Louis, and you know, house after house after house, and city streets, and then we moved to Wisconsin, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, and our driveway was about 200 yards long to get down to go to the bus. And the first winter we lived there, we got 36 inches of snow in like over a weekend.
God.
And I just thought it was the most horrible place in the world. Who the hell would live here? This is ridiculous. There was no plumbing. We didn't get out of our driveway. We had just moved like 3 months before that, and there we sat looking at each other. I thought,
oh my God,
the worst place on earth. Well,
what do the cows do when the snow's that deep?
Well, they're hanging out in the barn and, you know, chewing on hay and meandering about. In the meantime, we were freezing our butts off. You know, St. Louis gets a little chilly, but certainly nothing like this. And, you know, if we ever had an inch of snow, that was like a big deal. So,
right. That was a school closing day. Yeah.
You bet. Crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
But we stayed,
that had to be total culture shock. For some coming from the city, yeah.
Yeah.
But
well,
you
and
say,
I was 13, so I was in a teenager, you know.
Oh my gosh. That was really dramatic then, I'm sure. I have a 15-year-old, so I know how dramatic life can be.
Oh sure, yeah. My life was over.
So you stayed and you finished out high school there, what was it like? I mean, did you learn to really enjoy the whole, I mean, summer's got to be nice there, right?
Well, it is. It's short. I mean, we really, you know, have just a short summer, maybe, you know, 4 months of, you know, fairly warm weather, but probably overall, and I like it warm. I mean, I like, you know, high 80s, low 90s, that's perfect weather for me, and we maybe get 4 or 5 days a year. So, needless to say, when they're here, I'm outside, just leave me alone. I just want to sit out in the sun and bake a little bit. But it's a beautiful place.
Yeah. Well, I've heard it is a beautiful place, and Lord knows those cows produce some good cheese, so I'm going to just go for that part.
Well, that we do have.
That's for sure. So when you and your husband decided to, I and I'm totally fascinated with the motorcycle traveling, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. When you decided to, what made you decide to, I mean, travel is kind of the wanderlust thing is in all of us, I think, but what made you decide to get a bike and do it?
Well, you know, when we dated, he had a bike. And so that was just, you know, it was just kind of always what we did. You know, you'd get together with friends every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you'd go somewhere on a motorcycle. I mean, it was just, if you're not burning gas, you're not, you know, having fun. And so we'd pick a direction and just ride. And then we, you know, had kids, and we got rid of the bikes because, first of all, finding a sitter when you want to go is hard, and it just wasn't feasible. And then, you know, as the kids got a little bit older, I thought, you know, I think we talked about getting a motorcycle again, and I thought, you know, I'd like to ride myself, I think. And we went and looked at a bike. My husband, Gene, found a bike for sale at work. On they had a message board where you could put up a card. And he came home and he said, you know, that somebody has a motorcycle up in Bondiwell, which is about 30 miles from us. He said, do you want to go take a look at it? And it was in November, and it was already cold. And I said, well,
yeah,
sure, let's go look at it. I mean, yeah, you know, it was like finally going from talking about it to actually going to look at a bike was exciting. And we pulled into this farm, and it was this old storage shed that looked like it had seen better days, and it was already dark out. The garage door was open, or the barn door was open, and all that was in there was this motorcycle underneath the light, and I thought it was the most beautiful thing. It was purple and silver, and it had so much chrome on it. It was just beautiful. And so Gene got out and went and talked to the guy, and I just sat in the truck, and I was just looking at the bike and thought that that's the one I have to have. And I hadn't even told my husband that I wanted to drive it myself yet. I just thought I was going to let him do the deal and talk about it later. And so he talked with the fella and then got back in the truck, and we started to pull away. And I said, we're leaving? And he said, well, yeah, I mean, it's a nice bike, but it's nothing that I'd want. And I said, well, but I think I want it.
Yeah.
And he stopped. He said, you think you want to drive? And I said, I really do. I think I do. And so he just said, well, we're not going to talk about it here. So we drove home, and all that week, all I thought of was I want to learn to ride. So I called the local technical college and they offered classes, and I signed up for the first one in the spring that was available and told my husband that I signed up for the classes, and he waited a couple weeks, which was killing me, but he didn't want to seem too eager. So he said, we can't seem too eager. We have to get this for a good price. And so then he finally called the guy back and negotiated a good price, and we went up to get it. And he said, if we're going to get it, we have to drive it home, and you're going to have to ride on with me. That's how, cold or not, that's the way it's going to be. So my mother-in-law took us up there, and we had snowmobile suits on and helmets, and we were freezing. It was so damn cold, but we drove that 30 miles home. I thought I was never going to be so cold in my life, but it was like, this is my bike. I have a bike. I was so excited.
That's awesome. It's so funny. You're a good storyteller, because I imagine you opening up that shed door and, the lights on it and angels going, oh, that's what it's
that
like.
Was it.
So where, what do you think, Milo? I mean, obviously you don't go riding around in the winter up there, but do you just mostly head out in the spring and summer times, or what do you guys do?
Yeah, we always talk about winter here in Wisconsin for a biker is when you plan. We start planning now.
Mm-hmm.
Right after Christmas. We have groups and we sit and talk about where do you want to go? Which direction are we going this year? And then let's start making plans. And so we always take one big, big vacation a year. We'll go somewhere. Last year we went to Michigan. We rode around all week with a group, Upper Michigan, Lower Michigan. We zigzag back and forth across the state. The year before,
mm-hmm.
it was Sturgis. Next year, we're going to Colorado. So it's just, we pick a direction, a state that we haven't been before, and then where do we want to go? And then we just start, how do we want to do it? We try to get like the vacation rental by owner when we have a lot of us, so we can stay in the same house.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, how fun.
So we just kind of pick a direct. Last year we were also in the Smoky Mountains, and I'm so sad that it's all burnt now. I just
I know.
Down by Gatlinburg, and I'm so glad we got to see it before all this happened. But
yeah.
So we've been some great places.
Lots of miles, huh?
Lots of miles, yeah, which is fun.
I have a few friends who. Who also travel, they love to travel by bike. And they said, you can't imagine a better view on the world than to have nothing around you where you can see everything. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's just so cool. It's almost like, the whole movie plays out before you, because it's just, you've got nothing between you and the most beautiful places in the world that you get to see. So it's very cool.
Yeah.
And it's very, it's so cool when women are like, I'm going to go enable myself here. I'm going to go take the class, and I'm going to go, you're going to buy me a bike.
Well, my husband and
that's
I have
cool.
different riding styles. He rides different than I do. And I just thought, rather than be nervous and on the back, I would just rather,
mm-hmm.
do my own thing. And it's a special freedom. And, you are out there in the elements. I mean, every smell you smell,
mm-hmm.
When it's hot, you're hot. When it's cold, you're cold. It's not like you're sitting in a car with a heater. And it is what it is. It's part of the ride, though.
Yeah. The full experience. That's really cool.
The full experience. Yep.
Yeah. I totally know what you mean about being on the back of a bike with somebody else. And, my ex-husband and I, he had a way of riding and I did not like it. He took more chances, and he liked to go off on like four wheelers and go off trails and stuff like that. But he liked to go off trail, and I was not an off trail person. So when we went on our honeymoon, This was just tell you why the marriage didn't last. We went on our honeymoon. We went to rent four-wheelers, and I said, no, I'm getting my own, because last time you dumped me off, and I'm not going to have it.
Yes.
But that was really one of the coolest experiences of my life. Going up, we went up, I think we were down, they dropped us off like at the bottom of Monument Pass in Colorado, and we went up the trail all the way to the Continental Divide. and back down. Mm-hmm. And it was the coolest thing because, like I was saying, there's no windows. We went from it was warm, you know, it was in the 80s down on the down at the bottom, and we were had to put our jackets on, and we were had hoodies on and everything. By the time we got up to the top and the overview of a cool lake and all the smells, it was really the coolest thing. And I can't wait for my son to get old enough to where we can go take him to do stuff like that because he'll really enjoy that.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
It'll be cool. It'll be cool. Yeah, I just don't want him jumping off any cliffs yet because it's a little crazy.
No.
But,
yeah, no, oh my gosh.
So I'm guessing that the bike thing has really been a really huge inspiration for your writing in the light of your series. And you've just put out another addition to that series too. So tell me a little bit about the series and just, you know, where I know obviously where inspiration comes from is because the bikes, but tell us a little bit about the series and how it progresses, just without spoilers, of course.
Sure. Well, you know, there's a lot of biker books out there, but they're more, most of them are, they're all one percenters. They're all outlaw bikers. And I don't have a frame of reference for that. And so my bikers aren't one percenters. They're not outlaws. They're just people like you and me, and they just, you know, enjoy riding. But they're also all veterans, which is something that means a lot to me also. And so the series starts, Moving to Love starts with Jeremiah Shepherd, excuse me, and he's a veteran. He's also the single father of two grown boys, and they started Rolling Thunder Motorcycles. And they're just building custom bikes and, you know, and they enjoy riding and all that goes along with that. And that's how the series starts with him. And he finally meets someone that he wants to spend his life with when he meets Jossie. And they, you know, no relationship is ever smooth and perfect in the beginning. And so they go through their trials and tribulations and finally get together. And the second book in the series then is Ryder's story. And that's one of Jeremiah's sons. And the third book in the series is actually in the first book, Moving to Love, one of the big events is that Jeremiah puts on a veteran's ride every year, and all the proceeds go to a local veteran who needs assistance in some way. And so the third book is about Danny Schaefer, who is the veteran that receives the proceeds from the veteran's ride in the first book.
Okay.
And so it's about him, and
cool.
You know, he's a veteran amputee and also a biker, and so that's about his love story. And then the fourth book is about Gunner, who is Jossie's son, and the fifth book is JT, Jeremiah's second son. So just kind of keeping it all in the family there.
Keep it in the family. Well, that's cool. And I love the you know, that you center it around the veterans and, you know, that you are so heavily support the veterans. And like when I read your bio, I understand that a lot of your family members have served. And I think it takes, you know, I know that there's a certain amount of patriotism that should come from just being an American. But when you have people in your family who have served or are serving, it means a whole lot more to you to watch people struggle with, you know, the prices that they pay to serve. Yes. And yeah, I mean, I think it's a really great thing what you're doing to help them out. So kudos on that. That's very cool.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the box set that I'm in right now, Duty, Honor, and Love, there's 12 of us authors, and what we've all done is put together military stories. And the box said all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds, are going to the Semper Fi Fund. And it's only on sale from November 8th through January 8th, so for just this 2 months. But we all kind of have a soft heart for veterans, and we wanted to do something to help out. And the Semper Fi Fund is a fabulous organization that helps out veterans from all branches of the military with whatever it is that they might need. So it's medical expenses or education, retraining, or whatever it might be, they help them out. So wonderful organization, and we're really hoping to be able to give them a large check when this is all over with. So,
awesome. That's really great. That's a very honorable cause. I have an organization in here in Texas that I love to support. It's the PTSD Foundation of America, but they have a place called Camp Hope. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but what an amazing job they're doing with the guys when they're coming back and their families. They actually house their families and them there and work with them and their families to kind of reintroduce them back to civilian life and, you know, take care of whatever needs they have and help them all kind of. And they have to graduate from the program, and it's a really cool program. But man, it's like you're saying, it's so easy for a writer to get so much material, and I don't mean this in any bad way at all, but there's already conflict there. Once they've served, they've got inner conflict. So to kind of explore that in story, And with the regular life, and then you put in the theme with the bikes kind of connect it with all the family. That's very cool, and it's a neat concept.
Cool. Well, thanks. I mean, I think it is, but to me, it's just sort of, you know, life.
Yeah.
You know, we know
it's
and
it is
veterans,
for them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
and that's
you
kind of
want
the
to bring light to, you know, that people understand that, you know, you come home and it's not just always over for them. You know, they're dealing
right,
with things,
exactly.
And so you just kind of want to bring some attention to it without embarrassing anybody or making them feel bad. But it's just, I don't know if people always understand there's
right.
still lingering things that they, you know, that they deal with. So.
I'm being told that they can't hear you. Can you? Are you on a cell phone?
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay. If you could just move around a little bit and see if they can hear you on the other. I can hear you just fine, but I'm being told that you're fading.
Oh, well. Is
any
this, better, is this
better on the other side? Pam's listening. Pam, are we any better? Type and let me know. Okay. Going back to talking about the veterans, you have, like I said, you had a lot of people in your family that have served, and what kind of an impact has that had on the way you tell stories? Obviously it gives you material, like I was saying before, but does it make you – do you think that you're more insightful into, like, the human experience a little bit because you know so many people and have seen the effect of this?
Well, you know.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Two of my sons have served, and actually my oldest son, Zach, is a Marine, and he was in Afghanistan when the war first started, so back in 2002. And I watch him deal with the things that he had to deal with. And then my youngest son, Eric, is in the Army, and he's been over in Afghanistan, and he's seen a lot of conflict, and, you know, he's home now. He's still in the reserves, but he's dealing with a few things, you know. I mean, there's you know, just simple things like 4th of July bothers him. You know, he has to go
yeah.
in the basement and just kind of wait for the fireworks to be over because that just brings back some – so, but yet they don't want a lot of attention over it. You know, they both of
mm-hmm.
them just, you know, Mom, don't say anything. That's like, so
right,
I guess that just knowing that struggle and then that they don't want all this light shined on them, I guess I just try to do it in my own way. And so that's, you know, kind of telling stories and, you know, bringing in a love interest or a love story with it so that it's not shining a light on any one person, but just explaining a little bit about the struggle.
Yeah, and brings a little bit of interest and attention to something that maybe wouldn't come up otherwise, you know. In the romance capacity, people who might not otherwise be looking at that information might go, oh, wow, I never really thought about that. But
yeah.
And that's what I was trying to say, I guess, before was, you know, being an American required, you know, it doesn't require, but you should have a certain amount of patriotism. But really, it's very it's very hard not to be patriotic when you've had family serve and not know about all those things that go on. I have friends and family that have served, and probably, well, it's, my grandfather passed away, but I would say every involvement since, you know, World War One.
Sure.
But yeah, it's just it's hard to imagine a life of not knowing what that's like for people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not hearing those stories. So yeah. We're about halfway through. I'm going to put the phone number out. It's also there on Facebook. But if anybody's listening and they want to call in, the number is 347-633-9609, and you can call in to talk to PJ. Tell us a little bit at the duty and honor box set. Tell us a little bit about your little story in there.
Well, I included Moving to Love, so which is the first book in the Rolling Thunder series, in that box set.
Oh.
And because it just seemed to be appropriate. It was, you know, bikers and veterans, and because Jeremiah sponsors a veterans ride, it just seemed to be the most appropriate for that box set.
And so if people want to get a taste of the series, they can buy the box set, and it also makes a contribution to the charity as well. And then they've read the first one of the series.
And and you know what? The box set's only 99 cents, and there's 12 authors in it. You're going to get 12 full-size stories, and it's helping out the veterans. So it's kind of you're getting something for it, but you're helping out a great cause, and for very little money.
Yeah, win-win situation.
Win-win. Win-win.
Yeah, right? So, read when she is not writing.
I'm sorry, you kind of cut out there.
Oh, that's okay. So, kind of read when you're not writing. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're cutting in and out, but
okay. Hold on. Better.
I can hear you now.
Yeah. This thing has just got a wonky connection tonight. what kind of books do you read when you're not writing?
I like a lot of different books, and it, paranormal, historical. Really into, I mean, I read the Outlaw Bikers just because it's something different.
Mm-hmm.
Some fiction. You know, I'm a reader, and I like all different kinds of books. Erotic romance is one of my favorites. Gosh, I don't know. Anything that somebody would recommend, I guess I would give it a try.
Oh, yeah. I like book whores. Book whores are my favorite people. I'll take a book, any book, just give it to me. Do you think that anybody, any genre or author has had any kind of particular influence on your own writing?
You know, I guess I'm not sure about the influence of it. I just know that I've always had stories in my head and didn't know what they were there for. And then Christian Ashley is one of the first, like Laverl Spencer and Christian Ashley were the two that really kind of hooked me into reading. And, you mm-hmm. know, I just thought, I should see if I could do that. I think maybe I could. And so I don't know, maybe that's just that influence. Laverl Spencer's characters all seem like somebody that I would like to know or live next door to. And So I guess I would have to say that that's probably the beginning of my influences.
When did you finally sit down and decide to put the story to, you know, type it in, get on a computer, type it up, handwrite it, whatever you, when did you decide to bring it to life?
I sat down in the beginning of 2013. I was working in a job that I absolutely hated. I just hated it. And my husband and I had always laughed and giggled about one day when you write a book, you know, you could write about this or you could do that. And I came home from work, and I just said, I've got to get out of this job. And he said, well, you know, the best thing that you can do is to work for yourself. And he said, maybe you need to start writing that book. And I thought,
oh,
well,
wow.
All right, I'll sit down and give it a try. And, yeah. And I just, as soon as I sat down and started actually writing, it just sort of came out.
Awesome. That's when you know you have the gift.
Yes.
And what a good husband. So encouraging. Yeah. It takes a lot. It's a very solitary craft, but having somebody support you like that is really, really worth it. And, you know, I know a lot of writers who, well, I speak for myself. It's very hard to squeeze in writing time, but it's nice to have somebody to support you like that, and that's very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we have a caller, so I'm going to go ahead and take this, and let's hope that the computer actually works this time. Hi, you're live on The Librarian.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say hi. Patty has me in a gray area this week.
Uh-oh.
I think she knows who it is.
Hi, Anita. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
It's nice to hear a voice.
I hear you. I did not expect you to sound so Wisconsin.
I'm not even sure what that sounds like.
Right.
I just wanted to call and say hi. I never got to hear you, and I know you never got to hear my voice, so I just wanted to say, hey, lady, and I am enjoying my gray area.
Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm so glad that you called in. It's really nice to hear your voice.
Likewise.
So you're gonna give us a clue about the gray area?
Patty, I'll leave that to you.
Thanks, Anita.
All right, what I'm here for.
So Anita is, she's reading a story. It's actually the first story that I ever wrote, which is Designing Samantha Fall.
Oh.
And I was with a publisher, and then this summer the publisher went out of business, so I got all my books back. And this is the one book that I haven't been able to put back up for sale yet, and I wanted to rewrite it because, you know, it's the first one and there's things that need to be changed. And so she's reading it for me, and the main character in that book is Grayson. And so she messaged me today, and she said, I'm in a very gray area. She's liking the book, and so that's been our little joke now. So
that's a very good place to be. A very good place to be.
Good.
Especially if you're in Wisconsin in the winter and need to stay warm.
You have no idea. You must read this book when it comes out, I'm telling you.
Awesome. I can't wait.
Well, it's my happy place. I just wanted to call and say hi, Patty, and much love.
Thanks, Anita. Much love back to you. I appreciate you calling in.
Absolutely. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
Good night. And that's always fun. It's getting
nice
to hear voices of people you know. Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I've said it a million times on Facebook. It's, you know, I feel like my online friends that I've never met are probably better friends than some of my close friends I grew
Isn't
up with
something?
Because I talk to them more often, even though I don't talk
yeah.
to them. But you know, I exchange with them more often, and yeah, it's kind of crazy. But it's fun to hear a voice. And then run into them, like meet them up at a book signing or something. It's so neat to meet an author that, you know, I've talked to online several times but never spoke to and finally meet them. Oh, so awesome. So
It is fun. I've been doing some book signings, and it's great just meeting people in person. You see a face and you can hear their voice, and then they're actually real people.
Yeah, yeah. But our online friends are real people, too. They just, you know, don't materialize in front of us.
Yes.
Yeah, but when they start, but I refuse to do a video chat with people because I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't do the whole makeup bit. So there you go. That's why I don't do video interviews. Okay, we got another caller. See? Will it work? Will it work? It works. Welcome to the library and your life.
Well, thank you. Hi, my name is Pam. I'm calling to ask Patty about her book, which she directed the proceeds for veterans. Can you please tell us a little bit about that?
The box set, the Duty, Honor, and Love.
Yes.
Box
yes,
set.
Please. I really want to hear about that.
Okay. Well, the box set is we have some great authors, J.M. Madden, Sharon Hamilton, Ellie James, Susan Stoker, Catherine Levecki, Marissa Dobson, Marianne Jordan, Elaine Levine, Riley Rhodes, Jerry Foster, and Dana Martin all have, and myself, have all included stories in this box set. We put it together for a limited time, 2 months only. It's only going to be available until January 8th, and all the proceeds will be going to the Semper Fi Fund, which is a fabulous organization to help veterans. So give it a shot. It's only 99 cents.
Oh, I absolutely will. I can't wait to read it. Did you decide to do this because of your family members, and do the other authors have family members who are veterans also?
Many of the other authors do have family members that are veterans, but they all also write military romance for various reasons. They know someone that's in the military, or they, you know, they love the military heroes. But we just got together. Marianne Jordan and I were the first two to kind of get it rolling, and we both just really felt strongly about wanting to do something for veterans, and we released it the week of Veterans Day. So that it was poignant at that time, and we just really want to be able to give the Semper Fi Fund some money to be able to help them help our veterans. So we're donating 100% of the proceeds.
Well, I think that's great you did that. I think it's fantastic that you did that.
Thank you.
And I know they provide financial assistance for veterans, so good on you for doing that. I'm going to Amazon right now and buying it.
Fabulous. Thank you
awesome.
So much.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good
Thank
night.
You for calling in.
I'm actually posting it right now on the event page on Facebook, and I'm posting the link there so people can find it there very easily. And remember that her first book in the series is part of that box set. So there you go.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. That'll give them a direct link. I've already got my copy, so I don't know what everybody else is waiting for. You
awesome.
Can't do it. You can't. Yeah, you cannot get a military anything by me without me buying it. So that's just the way it is. Okay.
Fabulous.
So, what do you have on your plate for 2017? Obviously, you've got one in the works that you were writing and thinking about. What else do you got?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm working with a partner, Stephanie Tullis, a fellow author, and I've never met her in person. I hope to one day, but we've been friends on Facebook for a couple of years. And we started a fictional town called Chandler County, and we're writing in Chandler County. Chandler County is a little county between Lexington and Louisville, Kentucky. And we're going to be releasing twice a year, and we've invited other authors to write a story in Chandler County. Our first one is launching May 2nd, which is the week of the Kentucky Derby. And so that's
kind of
the focus is horse ranches and farms and the hunky guys that work and play with them. And we have eight of us, I believe, that are launching around that time, one a week. One author per week will be releasing for that 8 weeks surrounding the Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont. So it's going to be a real horsey good time.
horsey good time.
We that going. We're going to be releasing twice a year in Chandler County. Plus, I have my Rolling Thunder series. I'll continue to be writing stories in there. And I've been invited in a box set that Kindle World, actually, that Ellie James has going out, so that I'll be in the Kindle World Brotherhood in June.
Oh, fun.
So I've got a few irons in the fire.
Yeah. Sounds like busy, busy. But that's good.
Yeah,
busy's fun,
that's
especially
great.
When there's lots of extra things to write. Yeah. Let's see. We have another caller. Well, this is a busy night. I'm excited. Let's see who we've got. You're live on The Librarian.
Hi. This is Tessa.
Hi.
I just wanted to call in and say hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I just want to say I'm sorry, I'm recovering from a cold, so I can barely talk, but I've got all of PJ's books. I love them all, and I am really looking forward to Chandler County books that are going to be coming out. I think they're going to be awesome.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And thanks for calling in. That's wonderful.
Thank you. And
you
I'm
do
good.
Sound... You do sound like you're really hoarse, though. I hope you feel better.
Thanks. It's getting there, but it's good talking to you, and y'all both have a good night.
You too.
You too.
Thanks
for
calling
in. Thanks for calling
in. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're gonna have your hands full. So tell me about the Kindle World, the process. Is that do you write and then get accepted, or how does that work?
Well, I've just released in a Kindle World in October for Erin Nicholas's Sapphire Falls, and with that she had I was in a couple author groups that she's also part of, and she just put up an announcement that she was looking for a couple of authors that would like to write in that Kindle World, and I had read three of her books and thought, yes, I want to do that. So I just messaged her and asked her and if she would be willing to accept me, and she said, absolutely. So actually the book I wrote for that Sapphire Falls Kindle World is the starting point of my Chandler County series. So my characters left.
Oh, cool.
Sapphire Falls, and now they're in Chandler County, and that's kind of how that whole series is beginning. So the second Kindle World, the one for Ellie James, she just messaged me a few weeks ago, actually, and said, hey, I just signed the contract. My world is going to be a Kindle World, and I would love it if you would join me in with my first release. So it just felt good to be asked, and so I jumped at the chance.
That is really neat. That's cool. I didn't realize how – I thought it was just they put it out and you applied and they had to look at your writing and figure it out. But that's neat that you were asked, too. What an honor. That's cool.
Yeah, very much an honor. I don't – you know, there's so many Kindle Worlds out there, and I don't know if – each author that whose world has been licensed to Kindle, if they, you know, manage their
mm-hmm.
worlds differently. But that's been my experience so far. The Sapphire Falls Kindle World was such a pleasant experience. It was a great group of authors. I met some new friends, and it was just a fun experience. I'm looking forward to this next one, too.
Awesome. That's cool. That cover's really pretty, too. I just looked at it online. That's very bright.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Very bright. So when you said your publisher, you got your books back from your publisher when they went under, and then you decided you did self-publishing at that point?
Yeah, that was just kind of an experience. And I just want the control. I mean, I think there's enough information out there now to be able to self-publish and do it well. And have the control. If I want to put a book on sale, or I want to include it in a box set, or I want to do something with it, I don't want to, you know, beg permission. So I just decided to go ahead and just do them on my own, and I'm really happy I did. This next one that Anita was just talking about, my Designing Samantha's Love, I had kind of held back on putting that one back out because I thought, well, maybe I would submit that to a publisher and see where it went. And in the couple weeks here now that I've been seriously thinking about it, I've just decided that I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to self-publish it and take care of it on my own.
It's a struggle. I mean, I understand, you know, why a lot of people go traditional, but if you, you know, if you have a following and you have the time and you want to put the effort, because you know it takes a whole lot more, it seems like, to do the self-publishing than it does to go traditional, because you have to do all the work. But Yeah, you've got a pretty good following, so I would say, yeah, go for it, because, you know, you keep it all to yourself. It's all nice.
Well, you know, I'm in, you know, many author groups, and I've asked a lot of questions, and, you know, there's so many authors that are traditionally published that they don't even get a lot of say in their covers, and
right.
You know, sometimes their covers come out and they don't even match the book, and it's, you know, stuff like that that would just drive me crazy.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Publishers, they don't do any marketing for you. You're doing it all on your own anyway. Well, if I'm going to do all that work, I would just rather not have to share it with anyone. So, yeah, I'm just going to do it on
my own.
I
totally understand that, yeah. I totally understand that. No, and that's true. Traditional publishing is not what it used to be, where unless you're J.K. Rowling, they're not going to, or James Patterson, they're not going to spend a fortune on marketing your book anymore. So, yeah, it also kind of works.
And you know, the big advances aren't there anymore either, so.
Right. Yeah, they don't do that anymore either. Bummer. But when you, it may drop you guys. No, do you hear me?
Oh, you're kind of buzzing in and out again.
Hold on, it'll fix. It just, I see that, I'll just drop for a second. Do you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right, I'm on my cell phone. Hey, how about that? I did it right. Okay. If you've got to do it all yourself, not have all this. When you got your books back, did you decide to recover your books and everything at that point?
Well, we had to. That was part of the agreement with getting our rights back, was because the publisher had their logo on the covers. So the agreement was that, you know, you get your rights back, but you have to agree that you'll have them recovered. And I had them all re-edited and took the opportunity to rewrite if there was anything that I wanted to change in a story. And so then I had an editor that I had worked with before I was with this publisher, so I was grateful that she was available to me and willing to take on my books again. And so I had each of them recovered and re-edited, and they went through another rewrite. So I'm kind of glad that it happened the way it happened, because I had that opportunity to get them back, and the publisher wasn't doing anything for us, so.
Yeah, well, it's almost like giving new life to something, you know, your baby you already had. You just cleaned it up and made it pretty.
Yeah.
Put a bow on it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like keeping up.
So,
it's like when you paint your living room and you think, oh, gosh, I should have gone a little bit darker. There's always something
right.
That you maybe want to change or tweak, and it's no different with books.
Well, and that was a nice little hand of providence there to help you get them back out and get them back out to the people who loved them. So,
yeah. So
it's something that I've heard so many horror stories about things like that happening with publishers, and it's good that they just automatically gave you them back without the trouble, because I don't know, I'm trying to think who it was that went under recently, and people were really having to fight to get their books back, and I was like, it's ridiculous. You're not selling them anymore. You're not promoting them anymore. You're not doing anything, and you're not giving them back.
Yeah, that's at Allura's Cave, wasn't it, that was having so many problems?
Yes, that was it.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah, I didn't have any of those
just
issues,
crazy.
Thank goodness. I was worried about I at least give my publisher credit. They just honorably did everything as quickly and as smoothly as they possibly could, and I'm really grateful for that.
Well, and we're grateful that you've continued and that you keep putting more out. So let's go. Well, you know we love you at Authors on Air. They can't say enough about your books over there. Our reviewers love reading your books. So we just have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure everybody knows where they can find you online. You do have a newsletter on your website that they can sign up for.
I do, and I'm an active blogger. I blog every week. Recipes, I showcase an author every Tuesday that gives away a book, so there's always something going on for a giveaway. And then I give away a big monthly prize plus the weekly newsletter. So there's always kind of something going on. The giveaway is for newsletter subscribers only, the monthly newsletter. This month is a $30 Amazon gift card. So who doesn't want an extra $30, right?
No kidding. More books.
More books. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, good. I just had a notification on my phone, and I was like, wow, I hope you didn't hear that. Okay. It was Pikachu. But anyway, the things you do for a five-year-old.
Yeah.
So your website is pjfiala.com. That's F-I-A-L-A.
Yes.
You have a Facebook author page.
Yes.
You tweet under P. Fiala, right? It's not PJ.
Correct.
It's P. Fiala.
It's P,
okay.
Yep.
And all the other links are available on your website as well.
Yep.
And links to the books. Yeah, everything's there. I love that. One-stop shopping. Go to the website and you'll find all the links to the books there. And you can also go to Amazon and just put her name in. You'll find them there too. So,
yep.
And signing up for newsletters is something I promote heavily on this show because I think it's the best way to keep track, keep up with what's going on with authors and with Facebook being crazy and, blocking everything. It's really one of the best ways. So if you're not seeing everything from your favorite authors, you really need to sign up for their newsletters. So go to their web pages and do that.
Yep, and I do all my cover reveals are all done, excuse me, on my website first, 2 weeks before they go out to the social media. So it's on my website first.
Awesome.
You'll see it before anybody else does. The same with when I have ARCs to be given out for reading. I'll announce it on my newsletter, my website. So that's the place. That's kind of my home away from home. If there's something going on that's newsworthy, it goes on my website first into the newsletter and then out to the public afterwards. So if you like being first.
Yes. Readers do like to be first. It's like one of our, I don't know, it's like being first in line to get the new Apple iPhone or something, to get before everybody else. I don't know why. But readers do like it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for being on tonight, and I wish you much success and huge success with the box set. I hope it brings in a good chunk of change for Simplify. That's a great, honorable thing you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you so much. We hope we can give them something significant as well, and I thank you for letting me be on the show tonight. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks for hanging with me through all the lovely technical trouble. I told you it was fun. It was fun because it's crazy, but it's okay.
We have a saying over here at our house, and technology is great when it works. So,
I have a saying that is, if it doesn't work, it's probably male. So that's just me.
I may need to borrow that.
Yeah, right. There you go. I remember being at work when I was a librarian and the copy machine wouldn't be working. I'd be looking at them. I'm like, it's a male. It just decided to quit working. What do you do? They look at me like, what? And I'm like, never mind. So anyway, you have a great holiday, and I hope that you don't get a million inches of snow and are able to dig out.
Yes, thank you so much. We're supposed to get 10 tomorrow, so.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Hopefully.
I'm in
thank
Texas.
You so much.
I'll take my winter. Thank you.
Oh,
all right.
Send for that weather this way. We'd appreciate it so much.
Will
Merry
do.
Christmas
will do.
To everybody.
All right. You have a great Christmas and have a great
thank
evening.
You. You too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And thanks, everybody, for listening in tonight. You can find me on Facebook at The Librarian at Authors on the Air. I'm on Twitter at @HOT_librarian_. And this broadcast has been recorded and will be available as a podcast from the Authors on the Air website, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And you can find Authors on the Air Global Radio Network online at AuthorsOnTheAir.com and just about anywhere you can think of in the social media world. I will be back in about 30 minutes with my next guest. And until then, Y'all have a great time.